Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we do some talking about them. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
The Berrington himself. So I just got to apologise, I'm super sniffly. I've got like some tissues here. I've had a Lem sip. I've got my dressing gown here if I get a little bit too shivery. But we're ploughing through because there's nothing else to do.
That's the kind of guys we are.
Yeah.
Committed to the cause, sniffily or not.
How's your temperature, Ben? Have you popped one up? Popped a thermometer up recently?
Have I popped a thermometer up recently? Yeah, regularly, every night, like clockwork, and so far, steady.
Have you got like a little checkboard on your wall next to your bed?
I do. It's just a tick.
Keep it steady.
Sometimes, sometimes I do like a little horizontal line just in case.
Yeah, I have next to the toilet like a color palette thing, so I could just mark on how dark my urine is.
Are we going to say something else now? How dark are you? That was pretty dark, but I've been sleeping non-stop for 8 hours, so yeah. let's believe.
let's stay hydrated. Okay, so last week,
are you staying hydrated, Luke? Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's all right. I've got some water here.
Oh, I'm just checking. I was worried about you for a second. I was just checking. You didn't seem to enjoy that water too much.
No, I didn't. So our water, and this is tap water. This guy's in a bottle. Our water's a little bit weird here. So I remember I got like a black mug and I filled it with tap water. And I was like, I could see like an oily film on the top of the water. And I was like, and then I put it in a white mug and I couldn't see it. And I was fine. Because I was fine to drink it. I just didn't want to see it.
That's disgusting. But you've definitely told me that before. I think that might have even been on a previous or a hangout episode.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Our regular feature. Every week.
Luke's oily water.
Oily water.
Maybe that's why I get ill so much. Just drinking like random shit. As long as I don't see it like it.
You know what you need to do? You need to stop drinking the water. You need to get yourself onto the Coca-Cola. Fresh out of a can. Uncontaminated.
This isn't fresh out of a can though. This is... because it's lost its fizz.
Literally no fizz. That is the flattest. That's flat. That's weak. That's a week old.
it didn't make any noise when I opened the bottle then. That's worrying. That's worrying.
It didn't. It smelled like this. It went
it whimpered. Do you ever get like a hot chocolate from those really old terrible, they were like 10p, like a hot chocolate, and then a cup would come out like hospital hot chocolate, and like it would like dribble some like milky water into your cup, and it would like cough this chocolate powder onto the top. And then you have to take it away and go, this is disgusting. Wrong.
You used to get like a horrible chicken soup in those machines as well, didn't you?
Yeah. They just had like horrible bits of green. Like it was like milky water with some chicken flavour and bits of green in there. Yeah.
Ooh, healthy. One of my five a day. A
couple of chives in here.
That's 1.5 chives. That's 1.5 of my five a day.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chives. I'm done.
I'm done. See you later.
Okay, so, on the chocolate. So last week we talked about Night of the Living Dead. It was a pretty great film. And this week we were talking about number 20 on the list, The Descent. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Ben?
Sure thing. So The Descent is a 2005 British adventure horror film. Adventure? written and directed by Neil Marshall. The film follows six women who, having entered an unmapped cave system, become trapped and are hunted by subterranean humanoids. I mean, that is a spoiler right there in the synopsis.
Yeah.
But, of the film.
Okay, I will touch on that in a second. But so The Descent, and this is what the Empire people have to say. Somewhat like Aliens, Neil Marshall's masterstroke is in keeping the monsters off screen for a good hour. And after the almost an unendurable cave-bound claustrophobia of the first half, it's almost a relief when they finally show up to provide a more solid, familiar focus for the audience's fear. Before that, it's been an unbearably tense series of character clashes and potholing injuries, a pressure cooker building to a head of steam that brutally climaxes with a shocking accident and the full reveal of FX guru Paul Hyatt's blind albino golems. From then on, it's intense action all the way to a devastating conclusion. American audiences got an upbeat ending from which the sequel continues. Here in the UK, the final moments are horrifyingly bleak. The whole thing...
That is a pretty spot-on sort of...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we might as well just finish this podcast now. Just say that is pretty much it.
Yeah.
That is what we're going to say again.
So you've got 85% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2 on IMDb. The Horror Hangout Board of Advisors on Facebook, we asked that the guys in Andy said, I've not seen this in years. Even if you took the Beatles out, it would still be an incredibly claustrophobic affair. Depressing British ending cut for the window, right? So, I mean, I just want to... So you said, like, it's a spoiler to have the Wendigo-type creatures in the synopsis. I went to see this at the cinema. I had no idea what it was. And it was amazing because, like, there's so many, like, weird little revelations of, like, what happened throughout the film. I thought it was going to be a ghost story and then just a sort of thriller set in, like, the caves. And then, like, an hour in, these monsters appear. And I thought that was amazing. Like, the best way to go to the cinema is not to know anything about the film.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't remember when it was the first time I saw this. But, yeah, if in completely knowing nothing, it kind of presents itself as a thriller where you kind of assume that all the main characters turn on each other and maybe, like, one of them ends up, you know... Because we get these tiny little littered plot points throughout the start where you're like, there's a little bit of tension between maybe one or two, maybe a few more people in this group.
Yeah.
And the fact that it does, I mean, it does get played up on, but the fact that we get this additional sort of threat of just horrible, dirty, scary, blind golems.
When they first appear, in the same sense of the main character, you're in that same seat of thinking, did we see that? Is that real? I'm pretty sure we saw something. And then the shit hits the fan pretty soon after that.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you start doing the classic horror film thing of you see the point of view of the threat and you can hear its breathing and you can hear the horrible noises it makes. As soon as you see that, you're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But as soon as they're revealed, I mean, the fact there's obviously a few different reveals. One which is sort of like the big terrifying reveal. I mean, that is amazing. That is genuinely terrifying. It is genuinely a holy shit, what the fuck moment.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is like the fourth time I think I've watched it. The last time I watched it, I accidentally watched the US ending, and it's not good. It's like so...
So what is the US ending? Because I saw the British ending. Is the US ending the happy ending, yeah?
So what happens, you know, at the end of this one, she gets out, and if she gets in the car, she just drives off, and then that's the ending.
They're pretty much the same as what we see, but it just cuts a little bit.
Without that final, like, reveal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this one, well, 2005, I think maybe this is one of the first horror films I could go to the cinema to see, like I was old enough to see. And I was absolutely terrified in the cinema. Like, seeing horror on the big screen like that when you're young is, and this film in particular, is super scary.
I don't think I saw it on the big screen, and I think when I saw it, I did know it was a horror film with, like, creatures. I don't know, maybe somebody told me or something, but... Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, this is the fourth time I watched it. I will say, I think it's lost some of its charm on me a little bit. Like, I do feel like some of the soundtrack is just, like, nondescript, like, just, like, standard horror movie soundtrack stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the... I feel like it's starting to show its like its age. So there's like, yeah. there's like Spice Girls esque sort of thing going on with like yeah. some of the hairstyles and stuff and like
yeah. For even though it's 2005, there's a lot of stuff yeah, that felt it,
very
felt 90s. Quite,
yeah,
felt quite 90s. And I kind of thought this film was sort of set in like Scotland or something, and it was filmed in Scotland, but it was but it was set it was yeah. filmed in Scotland but set in America. So that was a bit confusing for me. I did watch the sequel as well, just to sort of give
I've
me
watched that, yeah, I've watched that a few years
just ago. to sort of give me more of an appreciation of the original. And the yeah. sequel is a dud, you know. The sequel
well, the sequel takes on from the American ending. It doesn't work in yeah. the UK ending, but
it doesn't work in the UK ending. But I guess you kind of fill in the blanks of the UK ending. But this is awful. I mean, this just it. But basically, the sequel just takes every horror movie cliche idiot and puts them all in one place, and you know, and it pretty much plays out the same as the original, but just with just nowhere near as effective. There's a couple of interesting ideas there, but I mean, it's yeah. pretty awful. And the yeah. ending's the end's probably even worse for me.
So the ending, the second one is where they get out, and then a guy. Yeah, feeds him or something to them.
Somebody gets out, and a guy hits one of them with a shovel and throws her back down towards the hole yeah. to show that he's been helping these little golems get their yeah. ring.
There's a, I mean, so the second one was directed by the editor of this one. I can't remember his name at the minute, but it's his only feature film he's done, and I think he only really did it because Neil Marshall didn't want to direct it. Neil Marshall, the film before this was Dog Soldiers, which is again like has a nice little special place in my heart, like, especially because those sort of the UK horror films that like we can almost imagine in our backyard.
Yeah, yeah, like, they feel so much more relatable. Yeah, I think most of the horror films that I genuinely feel the most scared of are UK set.
Yeah,
and that's just because they feel more real to me. What did Neil Marshall do after this? Was it Doomsday?
Which I've only seen once, and I remember enjoying, but apparently no one else did.
I think I've only seen it once as well, and I don't remember enjoying it. Well, so
I think I was like, it's like a Mad Max Escape from LA dystopian.
Yeah.
Things sense.
All I remember is that I was writing something at the time, those years ago, which is like one of the first really big things I'd been writing,
yeah,
and it was so similar to like the initial setup of Doomsday that it like really really took the wind out of my sails, and I just like stopped writing this thing. I was like, Doomsday is exactly the same as this, they've beat me to it.
He's doing the new Hellboy film, the reboot.
Yeah, I saw that, but he hasn't done all that much since those films, has he?
TV. So he's done a Game of Thrones and
Stranger Things.
I don't think so. I think Stranger Things is just by those two.
Yeah, it is. I thought I read somewhere that you'd done an episode. Maybe not.
Yeah. Okay, so should we jump into the story a little bit?
Yes.
The key players, I'm just going to list them off here because there's quite a few. Sean McDonald plays Sarah Carter. Wait, what's her name from Terminator?
Sarah Connor.
Okay. Never mind. Natalie Mendoza as Juno Kaplan. Alex Reed is Elizabeth Beth O'Brien. Myanna Buring is Samantha Sam Vernet. Saskia Moore. The list goes on. There's lots of girls. There's about,
the list goes on.
There's about 10 girls. But the main
one. Got four into the cast. The list, it just goes hard. It goes hard and hard and hard.
But there's only two that we really need to care about. The main character is Sarah Carter. I'm going to completely see her as Sarah Connor now. And Juno Kaplan, who's the. The antagonist, I guess.
Everyone else is just meat for just I don't mean in a sexist way. I mean meat for the slaughter for these creatures to kill. There is a girl called Holly in it who I believe is just like a bit of a she's a bit of a risk taker.
Yeah, she's the one with the Spice Girls spiky 90s hair.
She's got some Spice Girls spiky 90s hair. Yeah, I don't know if any of the Spice Girls ever had that hairstyle, but.
I don't know what it is. Something about it makes me think of.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Then there is just one guy in this film who is Sarah's late husband.
Oliver Milburn as Paul Carter. It says here. He's only in it for like, I think it's like he has like two three lines, and then that's it. And then there's no more males. I actually quite like it. Dog Soldiers was like a predominantly like male cast. And yep. I quite like that Neil decided to flip it on his head and just do female. So he also got everyone from different countries, which I never picked up on until I read up about it. So the idea is that everyone's got a slightly different accent to sort of vary them up a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed a few different accents, but they seem to change a lot. So I was like, at one point we've got, is it Mayanna Buring, who's also in Kill List as the main character's wife. She was doing an accent at one point where I was like, Polish, Irish, American? What's going
on? She's Swedish, I think, right?
Yeah,
I only thinking that because of Kill List. I think she's Swedish in that. But
yeah, but in Kill List she was straight up English, wasn't she? Well, accent
was she? Was she? Oh, I don't know. Okay, so
you fucking prick.
So the film starts, I remember being in the cinema and this just literally blowing my head off. It's like a pipe to the head of
pipe bomb.
Yeah. All these girls they're doing some water rapid type things. They're obviously like extreme sports type people.
Sarah, those bloody idiots.
Sarah, our main character, sort of gets out. She says, "Oh, what a fun afternoon." And then she meets up with her kid and her husband. And her husband like lingers and talks to Juno. So there's a bit of a thing happening there. But then they get in the car, Sarah, her husband and her kid drive away. And then this is right at the start, we've got like a car crash with a pipe flying through the windscreen, through David's head. Super gory, super, I don't know, just out of nowhere, just so quick, right in there.
No, I should have watched this back to see exactly what happened. In my head, I thought it went through like the dad, so David's like chest, and then the kid's head.
I always assumed it was his head, but I don't know.
Because you see a head get obliterated, don't you? And I thought,
I thought it was his head.
Maybe it was his head there. Maybe it was a head double whammy.
Yeah. It's still pretty brutal.
It's still brutal, yeah. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Who's dead? What's happened? What's gone on here? Pipe through the bloody chest.
Yeah. And then we get some like Silent Hill-esque sort of creepy hospital stuff. So Sarah wakes up in hospital. And so I think this is quite a genius move by Neil to like have a lot of these sort of more abstract, dreamy bits to the film, where it's not so straightforward. So she wakes up in the hospital. She stands up and we get the thing with the lights turning off at the end of the hospital corridor.
Yeah,
sort of catching up with her, and the sound design is pretty great here. And then and then she wakes up and that's not actually happening. But there's loads of little bits like that, and I thought they added to like a whole other element of like horror or fear to the story. So those bits really sort of,
it's like that uncertainty, isn't it? And I think the performances from everyone in this scene as well, when they kind of realise that her family's dead and that, were really good, man. Like I was like, I nearly had a tear. Everyone was upset. Everyone was crying. I was thinking, I had a lump in the throat. I was like, bloody hell, that's horrible.
I was thinking, this film really does take its time. It really has like the initial tragedy in the story, whereas like I think most of nowadays would skip past it and just have it as a thing to reference in the past.
Yeah, like she would keep having some sort of flashback to something bad that's happened. But the fact that we get to witness it and then it's like a year later and everyone's sort of coming back together, you kind of feel, it feels like a year? Is that long enough? That's what I felt initially. I was like, is that long enough to be over this and go, well, not over it, but, you know, going on another trip with your friends? And then, so you kind of feel that they feel the same as that.
Yeah. They're addicted to the adrenaline, Ben. She can't.
Yeah. She just loves it. Totally addicted to the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel that, and that kind of affects how you view everybody in the film. And I think you really understand their dynamic between the six of them.
Yeah.
Because of that initial tragedy. Like you saw it, you experienced how everyone else experienced it. Yeah. Everyone's got a little bit of a history. Everyone remembers it in a different way, and then suddenly you're thrown into this sort of dynamic with six of them.
And it reminds me, I don't think films take that. It's not on vogue to take the time to tell that initial tragedy. It's like Up, like that's like a 10-minute sequence at the start of that. This is absolutely heartbreaking, but it sets the thing for the rest of the film so well.
It is a bit like Up, this film, in more than one way.
Yeah,
I mean they've gone down. They've gone down. Yeah. Up is all about going up. Exactly. I mean, in the parallels, there. I mean, the cannibalistic subterranean monsters.
The dogs.
I mean,
that's another. Dogs. Are up, yeah. Dogs. Talking dogs.
Talking dogs.
Subhuman things going on, yeah. Okay, so yes, we cut to a year in the future, and they're in America. I always thought it was in Scotland or somewhere, but they're in Chattanooga, I think it's called.
I think it was all filmed in Scotland and other places in the UK, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
weird for him to say, "This is America." Do you not know what America looks like? It looks the same.
I don't know why they didn't just say in Scotland, because like they're all like mostly European people, apart from Juno.
Yeah.
Why did they have to go? They're in America. Why not just say they're in Scotland?
They already knew that the sequel was going to be made, and they'd already hired an American actor to play the police officer.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, so I was getting a full-on Spice Girl. So they're
Spice Girl.
they're like hanging out in this cabin for the night. We're introduced to all of them now. We've got spiky hair, extreme sports person.
Yeah, and then, she doesn't play by the rules. She doesn't like rules.
She doesn't, no.
If you're going to hit me with rules, I'm going to rebel against those rules immediately. Does my short spiky hair not say that? Come on.
They have a joint as well outside, her and another one. So we know they're real rebels, those two.
Yeah. And then there's a load of banter going on between these girls as well. One of them's got a shit pair of pajamas and she's getting absolutely slammed for it.
And we do know, we get a bit more, so... of Juno apparently left very quickly after the accident. Also, we did see a little bit of her like bawling her eyes out in the hospital. Yeah. So I think we know pretty much going into it that she and Sarah's hubby had a thing. But yeah, so there's a few things in this. But so in the cabin, I noticed an upside down horseshoe. I don't know if that's symbolic. It's bad luck.
Oh.
There's another like nightmare dreamy sequence where that shit me up again. Where Sarah goes to the window and then the pipe flies through the window into her face. Yeah.
Shit me up. That shit me up as well. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty scary. I mean, again, it was just like jump scares in like dream sequences. I mean, yeah, they're a bit cliche, but like for some reason these didn't feel like too cheap. They felt like
they're quite creative.
They're quite creative, yeah.
The pipe through the window, it's just not something you tend to see. Ever really,
pipe through the window straight through the eye is not something you see very often in horror films. No.
Okay, so the next day they wake up, Juno is doing the splits and like handstands and loads of stuff. She's ready
just
for
show it.
It,
just showing off. What did you say? She's ready for it.
Yeah. And then she takes them all out, and then she leaves the guidebook for the caves that they're going to behind. I think she's says sorry to Sarah at one point, but Sarah's not ready to hear it or whatever.
She says, sorry, I fucked off so early. I have things on.
Left a chicken in the oven or something. And so they go to the caves. They go down. It gets quite claustrophobic quite quickly. I think they don't realise how much of a task they've... Like some of them, like one of them who says, I'm an English teacher. This is insane. It's like a giant...
They got abseiled down into a big old horrible hole. Abyss.
Yeah.
Into a big old hole.
So it quite quickly gets to a point where I think Holly is like scrambling through like a little nook sort of thing going right through. And then Sarah goes through and gets stuck. And this bit is terrifying to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I think all of this stuff, like as soon as they started having to squeeze through a hole which was barely bigger than they were, that was the moment I started to feel myself feel quite tense.
Yeah.
Like my chest felt quite tight. Like claustrophobia is definitely something I definitely struggle with. So this was like, it just felt so, I think every angle we kind of saw.
It's the panic it's the panic. Very believable the way she starts to panic.
Yeah, so apparently these caves are all on a soundstage as well. They didn't film any of the cave stuff.
Well, I was going to leave that for some trivia. Anyway. So...
I'm getting ahead of you on these trivia things now.
None of this was filmed in any cave system at all. It was all filmed in Pinewood Studios in London.
I'm ruining the podcast, aren't I? I'm just letting the podcast unravel.
I'll make some bullshit up later. Don't worry.
I don't doubt that for a second. But yeah, this claustrophobia stuff was really, really getting to me, to the point where I was just like, oh, if a creature or anything turns up in the... Because I couldn't really remember if anything turned up in these tiny little tunnels. I was like, fuck that.
There's
absolutely no way.
And then the cave, the little tunnel that she's trapped in, she just gets out and it starts to collapse behind her. And they get through and the cave's collapsed and then that's it. They're kind of stuck. And then at some point it comes to light that Juno has basically led them into an unexplored cave system because she wants to have it named after them or something.
Yeah, this is where one of the characters sort of says, well, don't worry, we'll be rescued soon because people would have known we're coming here. And she's like, sorry, we've actually come to a completely different place. So I've stitched you right up.
Yeah, yeah. They find some rivets. Are they called rivets? Those little things.
Oh, like the little hook things.
Yeah. Rock climbing.
Rock climbing and caving little holes. They find some, but then they're like, these are bloody 100 years old, mate.
So yeah, so obviously like some 100 years. So, okay, I'll lead it up later, but so are we supposed to think that the monsters come from 100 years ago?
Well, I think we're led to believe that the monsters are like Neanderthals stayed underground.
Okay, that makes sense.
And sort of evolved and adapted. Yeah. But obviously we see this 100-year-old cave and equipment, so we understand that people have been here before, and unfortunately people haven't got out.
Okay, yeah. They find like some cave paintings, like you said, and one of them says, oh, look, there's a hole there, so we're stuck in this one. We should be able to get through this other one.
Yeah.
And then this is when it's like Neil Marshall went, okay, I want to do a cave trip film where every single terrible, horrible thing that could happen does happen. Like, because like there's one of them gets... obviously the cave collapses behind them. There's a claustrophobic bit. There's a bit where one of them gets like rope burn on the hands. There's another bit where someone falls down a hole.
Yeah. Well, there was this bit where someone was trying where we found loads of monsters. where we found the original cave hooks. The little hook things that people use. A woman had to
spiglets. Yeah.
She had to like basically go over a massive gap. And basically put some new ones in and make a rope. I mean, that was horrible as well because she was just like hanging there.
Have you ever been rock climbing? That's next level. Yeah, like I think world class rock climbers can't quite hold their body.
Could Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 2 do that?
No.
You remember because he's doing a lovely bit of rock climbing at the start, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's doing a lovely bit of that, hanging on. I couldn't do that. I feel like
Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger could do it.
Yeah, you could definitely do it. I feel like I've got such a wet grip. I would just be like,
exactly. Yeah, it's wet as well. Yeah, so I don't think that would be quite as possible as they. But you know, there's also monsters in it, so you know,
it's like some Assassin's Creed climbing going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was not ready for it. But around about this point as well. Holly, the spiky haired little 90s. Spice Girl, bewitched jeans. I mean, she gets ahead of herself. She's like, I can see bloody daylight. And she starts running and then she falls down a fucking hole.
Yeah.
And her leg snaps like a lollipop stick. Yeah. Snaps off.
Sporty Spice falls down a hole and breaks her leg.
That's a good name for her. She's Sporty Spice.
Yeah.
Melanie C. She loved the backflip, didn't she, Melanie C?
Yeah, Mel C, yeah. Okay, so then... all of them go down and are like, oh God, look what's happened. And Bones hanging out. And then as they're sort of trying to help her out, Sarah, our main character, has a little wander. And then she sees something in the, moving in the dark. I think this is a primal fear. When you think you're alone, and then like...
think we're alone now.
Oh no, there's a monster.
There's a monster lurking in the dark.
You know when you think you're alone, there's a certain sense of like comfortableness, and then like something moves, and then you realize you're not alone. I think that's a weird like primal like being a prey, so being some sort of prey species fear. So she sees this thing in the dark, and he looks like a little rat boy. And then she turns, and Juno's just like standing there. That shit me up really bad. Not the rat boy, but Juno just stood there.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, there was a few moments of this where characters like creep up on each other. Do you know what I mean? Like things that would never usually happen. Yeah. Things that would happen where you go, like, if you saw someone, I mean, there's a certain moment, but we'll discuss that in a second.
Yeah.
But where someone's over there doing something and you think they might be a little bit worried or scared. Yeah. I'm not going to just creep up behind them and put my hand on them because that'd be silly. You just go, from a distance, you just go, mate, you're right.
Yeah. I like to walk until I'm like, my nose is touching their ear before they turn.
And then go, are you okay? and usually that calms them right down.
So I took the time at this point. So it was bang on 45 minutes. So it's halfway through the film and we see the first sign of a monster. That's rare to like for that to take so long. And it's never once felt like boring. Like
No.
It's been like terrifying.
And I think a lot of the time in sort of monster films as well, you kind of get like a monster prologue, don't you? So you get like an introduction to the monster in the first scene of the film where you see someone being killed by it or someone experiencing it or discovering it for the first time.
Yeah.
And then we go and tell a different story. That's kind of what usually happens.
What would happen is they go in the cave and then the camera would pan to the right and there'd be like a toxic waste, like a container next to it.
Yeah.
Don't enter, monsters inside or something.
Wait a minute.
it's been like so tense all the way through. The months, I like everyone when things go like a next level. This is great. So what do you think about the monster design? Because I remember them being scary as hell as a kid.
Yeah.
Now I kind of think it's just acrobats in.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty scary, but they're kind of very Lord of the Rings, aren't they? They're like Gollum, but head of an orc.
Yeah.
With the head of an orc. So that's what it felt like. Pretty scary. I mean, they've got like razor sharp teeth, tiny little pointy ears. As soon as we get like a female one of them as well, I mean, I was like, I'm done. Okay. this is one of them in a wig. I'm not into this, but yeah, I think the creature design was pretty good. I think when we saw them kind of not lit up very much, they were a lot more scary than when we saw them lit fully.
Yeah, I don't need to see them like the full body up, like shot of them.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
And also there's a bit where we see them up close via video camera, and I think like that was all right, I suppose.
So where are we now? Oh yeah, so. They no one believes Sarah that like there's a the person.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Down there, and then they go. They find like they climb to like a, there's like animal bones. They're like, oh, there's what the hell is this? The shit of animal bones. And they do the Blair Witch handheld camera thing. They look left, look right, look left again, and then all of a sudden there's a thing standing there.
Yeah,
and it attacks them. But
that was pretty horrible. I also find the crawler at this point looked a bit camp. He was like,
yeah. and he tangoed one of them on the head. Yeah.
It was like that. It was just sort of doing a weird sort of. It was just there like that, doing a weird sort of.
I think they were so going for like some sort of like mole creature sort of thing, but
imagine it tangoed one of them. That would have been four '90s then. If the Spice Girls had gone down, they should have done an advert in the '90s. The Spice Girls went down a hole and they got tangoed.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah, yeah, and this is when we see it sort of start. You can see what it's capable of. This crawler, I guess.
Yeah.
So it kills Holly. I mean, she's probably the best one to have gone first because her leg was broken and she was old and never on back, wasn't she? So she sort of gets her neck ripped out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That was good. I mean, loads of blood.
Melanie C. So your throat ripped out now. Okay, and then she so what happens there? So they all kind of get split up, right? Sarah runs away. She falls down. Smashes her head on the floor.
Yeah.
Gino tries to stop them from taking Holly's body away. The two of his, that I don't know if you've mentioned by name, but they run away.
Sisters. They're sisters, aren't they, the two of them?
Okay. I didn't pick that up.
Let's call them the Swedish girls, Swedish twins.
And then, what's her name? Gino starts killing them. She turns into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And then I thought Gino reminded me quite a lot of Lara Croft. Maybe more so in like the newer games where she's more of a like, you know what I mean? She's got that sort of pickaxe type thing that she carries around in games. She was using that and she was dressed a bit like sort of classic Lara Croft. So in my head, I was thinking she'd make a good
Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Natalie Mendoza. This is obviously a classic moment. She's attacking all the creatures and suddenly she thinks she hears one behind her, but it's Beth. Again, inexplicably, is creeping up on her.
Yeah.
She basically just turns around and sticks the old pickaxe straight for her neck.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think she gets a lot of the blame for this, Juno.
She's in fight mode.
She's in fight mode, and Beth, melee for God's
mode.
Sake,
yeah.
For the love of God, Beth, because you could see her, she's just killed like a crawler or been attacking them. She's got a bloodied pickaxe in her hand.
Yeah.
She's breathing heavily. She's looking around. She's clearly terrified. Don't creep up on her. Oh, got you.
Yeah. And then, this is what I mean. So I feel like Juno does get like a bad sort of, especially here. So Juno kills that one and then she finds the other two again, the sisters.
I think it's because she kills Beth and then leaves her. I think that was kind of what we were supposed to see.
Right,
is like,
okay.
There's nothing more she could have done. She just stuck her through the neck. You know what I mean? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, the leaving thing is a bit bad. But so this is more of a redeeming feature. So she could get out because she finds like an arrow pointing to the way out written on the wall. But she says to the Swedish sisters, I'm not leaving without Sarah. So I think that's quite like a heroic choice.
Like
it's quite a redeeming choice anyway. But is she only doing that out of guilt because she was shagging her husband?
yeah. I think she feels a level of guilt, not just because she was shagging her husband, but also because she left so soon after the tragedy. So she probably thinks...
Was she driving the truck with the pipes? That's what I want to know.
Maybe.
Some twist.
I was taking my pipes. And you crashed into me. I lost loads of money because of that. Expensive pipes.
And then she sort of fled to the USA. Okay, so what happens now? So Sarah wakes up. She is in the dark. There's more of these crawlers about. I think she sort of hides in the dark at one point. One of them's like walking past her and stuff. But
this is when we start to realize. This is when we start to realize that they're blind. And they can't like.
Yeah, but
they.
This is the thing. So I know we find out a little bit later on that like they're blind, but they can hear things. I think they would still be able to smell things, like in the darkness.
Yeah.
Like, the other senses become like
unless we're made to think that like Sarah ends up sort of covered in blood and gunk, doesn't she? Well, maybe that's a bit afterwards.
But like it goes right up to her, and I kind of feel like if like.
So they'd notice like changes in the temperature.
They would know because they're like they can tell exactly where things are around them. They're not like
it's almost like them being not able to see is too good of a plot device to mess it up with them going, oh well, they can smell and hear so well that they'll be able to find them anyway, because they kind of work like bats, don't they, where they sort of
exactly,
like screech sometimes.
Yeah, like echolocation. They never said they were nose blind, and I don't think they would be, like. But yeah, so does that bit when it's like right in her face? I was like, I have no doubt he would know she was there. Like, because yeah. In that sort of situation, those sort of animals can like sniff out the tiniest bits of food and stuff because that's yeah. like how they that's how they operate. So the fact that his face is there in front of hers and he just goes nothing.
Yeah, I think maybe they'd well, maybe, yeah, maybe they probably
that'll get solid exclamation mark.
Yeah, that'd be terrifying. Yeah. That'd be terrifying. But the thing is, yeah, it was probably too good a plot device for him to mess up with that. So in order to stop the plot holes with that, they should have not included a sequence like she got so close to it.
Yeah.
They should have always had them fairly distant. And,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
God or she held its nose as it crawled past.
Like and it went...
Snuck a bag on there. Snuck a spiglet on there. You know, the climbing things.
Oh yeah,
there's like I can't smell anything near.
how many of these are we made to think live down this hole? So?
An unknowable amount, like a whole like tribes civilization worth of thing. I bet the idea is that the deeper you go, the more there are.
Oh, we only see one female though.
Yeah, she kills that one. Yeah. But like, imagine if they come from humans, they're going to be mammals, so they're only going to have like babies. You know, a human mother can only have like what. 9 babies at the most before she's all messed up.
Before she's useless.
I
didn't really know that piece of information. Where did you get that piece of information from? Why do you know that?
I'm just making it up. But this is
just making it up.
But
they can only have 9 babies until they're useless.
So we used to have other dogs, and I know with the bitches, you can only breed them so many times before they start to not be able to have babies, or they get complications, or
all their insides get messed up.
So I don't know many human beings who have more than I don't know anyone who have more than 8.
Yeah,
octuplets.
Eight's like the limit. I mean, yeah. I know at least 4 or 5 people who've got 8 kids. But other than that, so if they got 9 kids, I'd go, what are you doing? What are you playing at?
Exactly. So I kind of feel like there must be more mother ones down there somewhere.
Mummy ones.
Okay, so what happens next? So
So Sarah sort of goes into a big oral pool of pure...
She has her own scrap. She has her own Juno moment, right? So she starts to scrap a load of them.
Yeah.
The mother
they,
one.
They go into Ripley mode like pretty quick, don't they? These guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, they're extreme sportists, aren't they? They're all.
Yeah, which means they're obviously good at killing things. They're obviously good at killing humanoid creatures. You know, they love a bit of extreme sports. The next step up is just bludgeoning these creatures to death with rocks and.
I'm sure there's like a young like kid one that she like stumps on its head or something.
Is there a kid one?
I think so. The one that after the. I think the mother comes as retaliation because of that. I think she kills like a little teenager one.
Oh, no, I didn't even notice that.
But yeah, so they end up in a pool of blood, and that's never pleasant. So I think she has like some sort of psychotic episode or something. I'm not too sure.
So it's like a combination of obviously her losing her family and then having to fight for her life against these horrible beasties.
When will it end?
When will it end? And then getting in a horrible pool of blood, a nice relaxing pool of blood.
And she got and, a council tax through.
Just before she left.
New lucky bills coming in.
How much for a year? Oh, I better be able to put that across 12 payments.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh my God.
Carney's an MOT. Jesus.
It was just all happening at once.
Yeah. Okay, so after the car and the council tax and they're in the caves. She fights off a load of them. She catches up with Beth, who got stabbed in the throat by Juno.
Catches up with her. She just meets Beth for a coffee. Beth's like, I've been bloody stabbed in throat.
And then she says, look here, you don't trust Juno. She's got like what a necklace that she tore off her. She got stabbed in the throat. And then I think from that, Sarah's able to realize that Juno's been sleep was having a love thing with her husband, and she goes, "I probably shouldn't have put him in the balls every night since her wedding day."
How does she work this out then? Is it just like you're made to think she knew all along, but now she's accepting it?
It's something written on it. It says like "Live each day" or something, and I think there's something similar I don't know, actually. I don't know, I should look into that. Cause...
He just sees it saying live each day, and she's like, that's you exactly bitch. What my cheating bastard husband would have said.
He had that.
You've been shagging him, haven't you? That's not good enough reason. No, it's like she's quite hanging around her
it's
neck
a
all
pretty,
the time.
Like, open, it's like a pretty like standard saying. Live each day.
Live each day.
Where have I heard that before? Yeah.
Live each day in order. Does it... Oh, right. I was gonna start on a Wednesday, finish on a Monday. I don't know.
There's only two people I know who say this saying.
And also, it smells like his balls. What have you been doing?
Okay. So she goes like, okay, right, well, I'm going to mess this bitch up, I guess. Juno and the two sisters are escaping. One of them, like...
Oh, wait, sorry. We just forgotten. Sorry, Luke. I'll interrupt. Yeah. More than one occasion. She also finishes Beth off with a big old rock to the head.
See, I missed that. Sarah does. And I don't remember. Like that. I'm sure I saw it last time. But when I watched it this time, I was like, I'm sure she... finished that. I must have like just looked at my phone or something at that point.
Yeah, she goes, don't let me live this way. I can't live with my neck.
You won't
bleeding.
Live this way for long. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you won't. You'll die nicely.
You'll die.
Soon.
See ya.
Yeah.
I don't want another head smashing on my conscience, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm off.
I would probably that. We just want to be other things, I guess.
Why are you next?
She's going to be anyway.
Sorry.
Such a long neck. Maybe that was her undoing, Chad. Such a long neck. It was an easy target.
Yeah.
Oh, the neck.
Okay. So Juno and the two sisters are escaping. sorry, I'm gonna get sniffly soon. So what happens now? So one of the sisters dies. The two sisters die.
Yeah. They're trying to. There's quite a big sort of chasm that they've got to get across, and one of the sisters kind of just gets halfway across, and doesn't someone? I think one of the creatures appears, jumps on her body, and like rips her throat out.
Tears an artery out or something. Yeah,
tears a tit off, and then I think the other sister gets eaten as well, doesn't she? At this point,
yeah, the one of the two that behind the starts going like, do like you know when like they blow the raspberry on someone's belly, it starts doing starts doing that but a little bit too
really
vigorously.
He's being really playful and blowing a raspberry on her belly, but then her entrails got in his mouth.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
And so earlier, I forgot to mention this bit. There was something that kind of miffed me. Was when Juno caught up with the two sisters and they were fighting one of them, and then she just grabbed its neck and then it broke its neck. Oh,
yeah,
actually,
yeah,
that's not
yeah.
That's silly. From Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's silly.
That was silly. That was a silly moment. That took me out of it. I was like, no, she's not like a secret agent. She's just done a bit of snowboarding once.
Yeah,
just, suddenly she knows how to. I always think that. Do you ever? Because sometimes, like with the neck snapping thing, I always feel like I always think, could I do it? I'd like to try. Could I do it?
I'd like to try.
But then I imagine it's such.
I bet I understand how to do it. You try to go one way, so they're like trying to go against it, and then you suddenly switch it up. And do you know what I mean? When my dog started licking me on the face, I do that. I go that way, and I go around them. It's a similar sort of technique there.
I love your point of reference for that. There's always a dog trying to lick me in the chops, and I got to get away from it. Oh, fuck it out! You just end up doing some sort of like head dance with a dog.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if that's even possible in real life.
Oh, that bit was just she could have just come up behind it and like choked it, or could have come up behind it and stabbed it. Anything but the classic. Anything but the classic James Bond. Well, not even James Bond.
No,
but like,
he doesn't even do it. Like
secret agent. Exactly. James Bond doesn't even do that. James Bond even goes, nah, that's a bit out of my.
Have you seen Casino Royale when he's trying to strangle that guy? Like,
yeah, it takes forever.
That's James Bond. That's Daniel Craig, James Bond. He's a badass. And like, it's not real. I don't think that's even a thing people can do. And if you do snap someone's neck, I don't think it's instant death.
No.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's just like, this really fucking hurts.
Oh, bloody hell. One of my vertebrae has just slightly come out. Like,
maybe if there's something like a spinal thing, they just like fold. But
it felt like, I like the sort of, everyone was quite desperately trying to stay alive in this. And when they were fighting, it felt like they were fighting for their lives. And when that bit happened, when Juno just snapped one of her necks, it took me out of it. And it reminded me, even though I knew that I was watching a film, it reminded me that I was watching a film.
Hang on a second.
Hang on a minute.
Watching a bloody film, are you?
This is a film. This ain't a documentary on Netflix. I thought it was real life.
Yeah,
but it took me right out of it. I was, do you know what I mean? If I could remove any moment of the film, it probably would have been that.
Yeah. Just because, but again, I think that's what I mean by when I say showing its age a little bit. Because I think that was more acceptable back then.
Someone would have seen that and gone, oh, bravo.
That wow, is yeah.
Wow.
Hardcore, yeah. Now I see it and go, that's fucking bullshit. It's not real.
That's nonsense.
Silly. Silly, I think silly is the word for it. Okay, so, and then Sarah catches up with Juno. And then she has the pickaxe thing, and then she does another like a bit of a James, like old fashioned James Bond moment where she lets her hand open up a bit, and the pendant, Juno's pendant, falls down. And again, it does get a little bit silly here, and the music's like full on, superhero epic. Moment, epic, She goes for the leg. And then leaves her to fend for herself as all these other crawlers sort of catch up.
Yeah, well, before this, they're kind of fighting quite a lot of the crawlers. And it was like, it reminded me of like a superhero film where they were like, you know, in a superhero film where like one person squares off against an enemy, and another person squares off against another enemy, and they're kind of like fighting that one. It cuts back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. It felt a bit like that. Rather than two people genuinely fighting for their lives, it felt like two badasses.
I think that's why it said adventure film, you know, as the genre, because I think the music does have some sort of like weird adventure moments to it that I'm not a big fan of. And I only notice them more now that I watch it back. But yeah, so she stabs her in the leg, and then she gets out basically out of the caves. There's like again, epic music as she's sort of crawling out. Slow motion as she sort of bursts out of out of the ground.
The classic moment where she comes out of the mossy ground, just like taking a big breath in, like she just come out of the bath.
It's like Jim Carrey from the hippopotamus's ass.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as that. That's exactly what I went back to.
Yeah, and then so she gets out, gets in the car, goes to drive away, and in the American ending, she just drives away. In this ending, there's another jump scare, and Juno's ghost is next to her. And then she's back in the caves. But I do like the way it ends. Has this thing where there's been a motif all the way through the film of her kid's birthday cake.
Yeah.
And then they do like a really nice cut here where it's dark, and then the kid's wants to blow a candle. It pans right and then left, and then the candle is actually her torch that she made earlier in the film. And then we cut back. Pull back and then realize that she's not out of the place at all. She's like surrounded by.
So her escape as such was just a dream or a vision or something. So she never actually escaped. She's still in the caves, probably maybe forever until the sequel.
Until the sequel, yeah. So I like that ending because I like grim endings like that.
It's a good ending. I like that ending. However, I don't know if I liked the fake ending. That wasn't the real ending all along. This was the real ending.
Yeah.
I like the bleak end. I like bleak ending, but I think maybe bleak ending would have worked just fine as a bleak ending rather than that. Because it feels a bit jarring and a bit confusing, I think. If you've not seen that film before and you watch it, you're like, what? 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 Do you know what I mean? It's a bit.
It's what I call the Brazil ending. So Brazil has the two endings, has the US ending and the UK ending again. The US ending is the good one, and the UK ending is when it's all in his head and it's like being lobotomized or whatever.
Yeah, but that's what I feel like any plot device where it's revealed it was all in the protagonist's head.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. I can understand why some filmmakers choose to do it. Not so much these days, I guess. But still, it feels a bit like, what, really?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I think that it just feels like the audience feels that they've invested so much time into these characters, this time into this,
that anything that appears like that, you feel like you're being cheated out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, bleak ending would have worked for me, but not the fake out ending.
Okay, cool. So the director's dialogue and stuff. Yeah. So it had all these jump scares. The main terror that he managed to capture was the claustrophobia. I think that worked really, really well. There were some things that just, like, the soundtrack riled me the wrong way. Neck breaking badass, like, fake TV detective things just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And also, this is picky. This is super nitpicky, but like the titles at the start of the film, they have that weird stretched elongated text.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think, no, oh, man, that's such a horrible font. And they had like a fake lens,
a little
flare.
Torch.
Yeah. Like a fake lens flare type effect that I'm sure was a preset in Final Cut at the time it came out. So I'm pretty sure he just went, this is cool. Whoever edited it.
I know. It kind of worked with the film, I guess, and being in the dark and needing. But if you think that's bad, you should watch the sequel because it uses exactly the same effect.
Yeah.
No different. But instead of going, the descent, it goes on for too long and goes, the descent, part two. If you think it's bad on this, you should watch the sequel, because if only for that opening title, because it just feels so cheap.
It feels like bad taste, do you know what I mean? When this film's a great film, and like I am being quite nitpicky, it is a really good film, really scary, the horror in it is really horrific, but there's some poor choices that may not have even been like bad taste back then, but they've dated a little bit now.
Bits that perhaps are viewed upon as being quite cheesy now, when back then maybe not.
Yeah.
I guess, I think a lot works though. I think the claustrophobia for me, because when you watch a horror film, you always kind of think, oh my God, I'm glad I'm not in that situation.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the films where I think that is my least favorite situation to be in.
As in like,
I would rather be in fucking Alien. Or I'd rather be in The Thing than have to experience this. Because at least you're like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In The Thing, I just run out into the snow and freeze to death.
At least you're not trapped. Like, I remember I went on like a caving thing in like a school trip. We were down in these caves and they turned the lights off. It's so dark and so scary. Like, and then just to think of those things moving through there as well. Like, it's horrific.
I mean, there's a lot of good use of light in this, but I think a few pitch black bits would have been quite cool in this film as well. I don't think you get too much of that.
Yeah, I think that would have been good. Pitch black and then noises and stuff moving around you.
Yeah, things that felt like they were close.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm getting a sniffle now.
Yeah, sorry. It's viral. Okay, so
it's viral.
The trivia, you ready?
I'm ready. Did I not ruin the trivia, Luke?
No, a bit. Number one, the underground scenes were shot in a small caving system in the north of Scotland. True or false?
The underground scenes were shot in a small cave. That's false.
Exactly, yeah. This is what you said earlier. So they're all filmed, and there's like five sets built in Pinewood Studios. And they had some sort of new technology. If you watch it back now, you can see it's a set. Like,
There are a few sequences. Once when they were all stood in different platforms near the start, do you remember that?
Yeah.
They're all stood in different areas. That looked very PS2.
Looked a bit like a Crystal Maze area to me. And they had like some new technology where they would constantly spray them, so it's like they always looked a bit wet and stuff, which works quite well. Okay, number two, Neil Marshall cites The Thing and Texas Chainsaw Massacre as being big influences in this project.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yes, he apparently did say that. So on Wikipedia, check it out. It's true. Okay, number three. So this is quite interesting. If it's true, they kept the crawler creatures hidden away completely from the actresses until the very moment where they do the pan with the camera and it's just behind it.
Oh, and then
to get a proper reaction from the girls.
Yeah, I can believe that. I reckon that was true.
That's true, and I kind of gave that one away a bit. Okay, so this story was actually inspired by a trilogy of novels about underground creatures called The Descent by Jeff Long.
True?
No, false. But there is a trilogy of novels called The Descent about people, people who go spelunking and then they get trapped and there's like an underground society of Wendigo type creatures by Jeff Long. And it's apparently like completely different. Neil Marshall said he's never read the book, doesn't he never got the influence from it, but it's so similar.
Strange. What is it like horror novels?
Yeah. It's called The Descent, and it's like the same story idea. But I mean, like, you know, that's how things are. I mean, that's why comedians come with the same jokes sometimes. It's like the zeitgeist. We just sort of
zeitgeist, tap man.
Into it at the same time. Okay, so the last one, except for one man, no men appear in the film.
Is there anyone in that like hospital corridor? That's true.
I'm going to say supposedly, but not really, because all of the creatures are male, apart from the one with long hair.
Luke, did you just assume their gender?
Triggered. Oh, no. Triggered out of, like, creatures.
Triggered, and they would just rip you apart. Yeah, this chair sort of like goes right back like that and sometimes I forget.
My dad used to have a computer chair in my dad's house, and he used to come in and I'd lean on the back of it to see what I was doing, and it would go back so far, like you're just
like you're in a dentist chair.
Yeah.
So Luke, what are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't porn, Dad.
Okay, so you need to rate the film. what are you gonna go for?
I think I'm gonna rate this film quite highly because I've seen it a fair few times and it's always effective. I reckon I've seen it maybe four, maybe five times, and again, yeah, it was effective and I really felt the claustrophobia, really felt the horror. Few cheesy moments, but I think I can kind of overlook them in terms of my overall opinion of the film. I think I'll go for a B+.
Nice. I'm gonna go for B. I think it's a really solid horror film.
Rock solid.
And I think it didn't have a massive budget, and that kind of shows. But this film does hold a special place in my tum-tum because I went one of the first times I saw it at the cinema, horror film I was old enough to see, and it was genuinely scary. Like there's bits of this film that I'll remember forever. Apart from neck snapping bit, did miff me off.
Yeah, but I think I didn't remember that bit this time anyway, so I've obviously forgotten about it.
Yeah, you look past that bit. Okay, so the next film on the list is a film I've only ever seen once. Toby Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Have you ever seen it before?
I have indeed, Luke. I've seen it quite a few times. Terrifying. Definitely. Definitely up there with some of the scariest sort of like slasher horror films. Probably the scariest slasher film, actually.
I remember the bit where he like picks someone up like a girl and just like hooks on.
Yeah.
Thing. I remember that being like scary.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it too. Oh yeah.
Okay, so have you got anything else to say before we go?
What, just like any admin or anything? Nothing much. Just I hope your cold subsides. That's the best possible reaction to me saying that.
Okay. Yes, I hope so too.
You're gonna be a joy. You're gonna be a joy to sleep next to tonight. Me saying I sleep next to you. That's me saying. I can understand Kat and her pain tonight.
It's okay. Kat punches me in the balls every night, so I'm looking for. For someone new. Okay. Okay. So so this year is brought to you by Story Studio Hawker Cleaver. Head over to hawkercleaver.com and grab a free book. I sound super nasal now when I'm saying this. And also become a patron over at early access to episodes, bonus content, and heaps of free stuff at patreon.com/hawkercleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to ACAST for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Give us a rating on iTunes. Why not? Come to the Horror Hangout Facebook group and have a chat about horror films. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks to the Lemsip for making me able to not sneeze all over the computer.
Thanks, Lemsip.
Thank you, Lemsip. All right. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.